my take at thetakeaway.org. So if you caught any of the news programs over the weekend, you can see already that the Obama administration is getting down to the business of debt reduction as the real budget, which is expected to be announced on Thursday, becomes the agenda in Washington. And the president suggests that one of the places he is seeking savings in that budget is by withdrawing from Iraq. But how fast and on what scale and how much money does it represent? That's a real question. And helping us to do the math this morning is Linda Belmez, who we welcome back to the program. She's a Harvard professor of public finance and co-author with Joseph Stiglitz of the book The $3 Trillion War. She's also the author of a new book called The People Factor, Strengthening America by Investing in Public Service. And certainly that's a value that Barack Obama suggested was a good investment all throughout the campaign. Linda, thanks for coming back to the program.
Thank you.
If President Obama attempts to use Iraq as a principal source of savings by drawing down the U.S. Commitment there, how much money can be expected? And let's just confine ourselves to this fiscal year, if we could.
Well, the problem with trying to save money in Iraq is that while I certainly agree with the president that we need to draw down our troops, it actually turns out to be pretty complicated to save money there. And you can think about this for several reasons. But first of all, the Iraq operation is a very high fixed cost operation. It's kind of like running an airplane where the bulk of the costs are there regardless of whether you have 10 passengers on the airplane or 200. You're still going to basically be paying quite a lot of the same cost.
So you can ground the fleet, but you're not going to dismantle the airports.
Right. And, you know, in this case, we're still flying the plane. So, in other words, if we cut 10% of the troops, we don't save 10%. If you think about what costs money in a war, we spend money on repairs, on replacing equipment, on fuel, on training the local security forces, on reconstruction cost. And much of the money is tied up in very expensive contracts that have been negotiated over a period of years, for example, maintaining military bases. And it turns out, as we saw when the British pulled out of most of the troops out of Basra, and it cost the same, it turns out that it actually is very difficult to save money until you bring a really large percentage of the troops home. In addition, and this is a very important point, the costs don't just stop when the troops come home. We actually end up spending a considerable amount of money on veterans benefits, on veterans health care, on education benefits for veterans, and we can see this clearly, for example, looking back to the 1991 first Gulf War, where even though that war only lasted for a month, we still spent $4 billion a year in veterans benefits, veterans disability benefits for the troops who fought in that war.
Well, we also have the complicating factor in this particular war with so many survivors and with these kinds of bizarre polytrauma injuries and serious burns and brain injuries that I read somewhere, I think the per capita expense on medical rehab over the very, very long haul could be higher for these troops than any troops in U.S. history.
Well, that's right. The number of troops who have been wounded or injured in this war, it is about 16 to 1 in terms of compared with fatalities, and that is much higher than in previous wars where it was about 3 to 1. But really, the large cost is in the bulk of troops who are coming home who don't have polytrauma, who don't have, fortunately, such severe injuries, but they may be coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder, with mild traumatic brain injuries, with mild injuries that require disability benefits to some extent and medical treatment for many, many decades.
Well, then, before we go, if the Obama administration was to embark on a cost savings on the scale that would actually reduce our spending in some significant deficit-reducing way, what would you look for as a sign that they're actually going down this road? And if Iraq isn't a source for savings, what is in the budget at this point?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, on the Iraq situation, the in my opinion, and taking aside the fact that we are ramping up in Afghanistan at the same time that we are attempting to ramp down in Iraq, the only way to significantly save money in the Iraq operations as we bring our troops home is to revisit many of the large contracts, which are so expensive, and to close many of the bases, which are very expensive to maintain. And as I mentioned, these bases cost pretty much the same, regardless of how many troops you have on them. If you look at the history of the Iraq War, the number of personnel since 2004 has only increased by about 15%, but the costs have gone up by 93%.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, you know, that is largely due to the contracting for more equipment, for the cost of training and equipping the local security forces, and the cost of repairing and replacing equipment, most of which is done by contractors. So without revisiting the fundamental structure of how we fund the operations there in Iraq, it will be very difficult to, in the short term, to enjoy many financial
savings. Well, if not Iraq, then where? I'll give you about a minute.
I am in favor of activity-based costing throughout the budget. That means that instead of looking at what we spend historically on things, looking at what it costs to actually provide services. This is a method that in a number of cities around the country has been able to bring budgets under control, but it has eluded the federal government up until this point.
Well, it sounds like that's an argument to bring you back and explain a little even more clearly how that would work and what sort of overhauls would be implied by adopting that sort of strategy. What's the name of it again?
Activity-based costing.
Activity-based costing.
Or
all right.
Activity-based budgeting, which is basically a different way of thinking about the budget. In other words, instead of just looking at the fire department and what it costs, you look at what it costs to fight a fire, which actually transcends a number of departments: the police, the fire, the paramedics.
Well, there's a takeaway for you, Linda Billmans. Thanks so much for being with us. She's the author of a new book called "The People Factor: Strengthening America by Investing in Public Service." She's a Harvard professor of public finance and a co-author of the book "The $3 trillion War on Iraq." Linda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
So let's close out. We're always on, and we're looking for a 6-word motto to help America get through 2009.
My advice on the economy is the same advice I would have given before the problems set in, and that is neither a lender nor borrower be.
Tell us your motto for America. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Our friend and Freakonomics blog author Stephen Dubner joins us tomorrow with his favorites. We're always on. Get our podcasts. You can explore what Linda Billmans was talking about a moment ago. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.